All right, praise God. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We are continuing our series on foundation. I hope it's been enjoyable to you. It is enjoyable to me, the basis by which we've grown. And of course, one of the foundations of the Christian faith is just that, faith. Right? Faith is pretty much everything. Right? Faith is everything within the Christian life. Faith is central for the Christian journey. And without faith, it is impossible to live this Christian life. Without faith, it is impossible to have the forgiven life. Know some of the few things that we need faith for. For one thing, we cannot be saved without faith. That is, we cannot have eternal life if we do not possess a measure of faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 that for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is through faith that we have life. It is through faith that we are saved from our sinful state and able to walk in this newness of life. Faith is the vehicle by which we are redeemed, and without faith, we will not be redeemed. Notice also that we cannot continue our forgiven life without faith. Not only is faith beginning that we need to have our eternal life, we must continue to possess faith to continue on living our Christian life. Hebrews 10 verse 38 is in your note. You got to read this passage. It's very, very important. God is speaking, quoted from the Old Testament, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. See, we who seek to live the Christian life must live by faith and not shrink back. We can shrink back from faith. In other words, we can depart from the faith that once saved us. And if we shrink back, that is, if we lose our faith, the Bible tells us that God takes no pleasure in us. We need faith to continue in this Christian journey. But also notice that we are also unable to please God without faith. We just read that in Hebrews chapter 10, but notice Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it states that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe, that is, must have faith. But faith in what? Well, he tells us. Faith that he is. We have to believe in God. We have to have faith in God. And two, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So the fourth thing I noticed is that we cannot receive blessings and reward without faith. Not only we can't have eternal life without faith, not only can we not walk in this Christian journey without faith, not only can we not please God without faith, but we receive all of our rewards, our blessings, the gifts, through faith. It is faith that we receive the gift of eternal life. It is faith that we even receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need faith. And notice number four. We can. I already talked about four, but notice number five. We are unable to pray effectively without faith. Ever wonder sometimes you pray and you just don't feel like God answers you? God's not responding back? And one thing is that we don't have faith to pray. We don't have faith in God for our prayer to be effective. I mean, do not expect to receive anything from God, nor to have God answer our prayer if we do not pray in faith. James tells us that in James chapter 1. He says that, but he must ask in faith, without doubting, that is, without wavering. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord if he doesn't have faith. And finally, when I think about faith, I notice that we are unable to live a life of confidence without faith. We are unable to live a life of confidence here if we don't have faith. I mean, most of the woes and worriness of life, if not all of it, is a result of the fact that we lack faith. I mean, Jesus rebuked his disciples and said that we are anxious and we worry and we are burdened because we are them who are of little faith. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 30 to 31. And sometimes when I'm worried or I'm stressed, I'm wondering, where's my faith? Where's my faith in God? Where's my belief in God that He will carry me through? See, faith is everything in the Christian life. All relationship that we have, whether it be our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, our relationship in marriage, whatever it is rooted and grounded in faith. There has to be some kind of measure of faith for relationship to work. There has to be some measure of trust for the other person if we are to have a strong and vibrant relationship. And if we don't have faith in each other, if we don't have trust in one another, that's when things start falling apart, right? Even within a marriage, things start falling apart when we don't trust one another. Suspicion begins to rule and replace the faith that we once had in the person. We need a measure of faith, a measure of trust. We start questioning each other, you know? And when we start questioning each other and doubt one another, our relationship starts spiraling downward. We need to have faith. Same thing with God. We need to have faith with God, or else our relationship with God start spiraling downward. You know, for those who know what's going on in my life, who cares to ask me, hey, you know, what's going on in your life? You know, you guys know that I'm having one of the most difficult time in my life right now for the past few months. I mean, you know, one of my clinics, or actually almost all my clinics at that point in time, were not doing very well. Particularly one of them, almost everyone quit, except for two left. Almost everyone quit all at the same time. So I'm left with a skeleton crew. And you know why they quit? They quit because I think they have lost confidence in the manager. They no longer trust the manager. They no longer have faith in the manager. And quite frankly, I don't know if I have faith in the manager either. I pull her into my office and talk to her several times. I don't know if I have confidence in her, that her ability to lead anymore. See, once you start fading that confidence, that faith in a person, it just spiral downward. And I saw it coming, and I told her it's coming. And eventually, boom, we got a big blowout. Now I have to step back into the clinic. I was trying to step away from the clinic to spend more time at church. Now I got to step back into the clinic to take more active role to rebuild the clinic. But rebuild what? Rebuild faith. Rebuild confidence. Rebuild that we are going to run this business the way it's supposed to be meant to be built. Faith is everything in our relationship with one another, in our workplace, in our marriage, even with God. Faith is everything. With faith being the foundation, adding on to repentance, if you recall, it is important for us to understand what faith is so that we can have eternal life, so that we can continue with our eternal life, so that we can please God and do all the things that we just mentioned above. We got to have faith. And it's important for us to understand what faith is. And also it's important to understand what faith is not. Right? You know, there's a big movement within the Christian community. I don't know if you guys are, you know, involved in the Christian community. Well, you guys are involved in the Christian community, but really involved in the worldwide Christian community, especially in our state. There's a big movement in the church that focus on faith, right? Because faith is a big thing. You just focus a lot on faith. But this faith that they're focusing on is not the faith of the Bible. The movement, of course, is known as the faith movement. But some of you guys know it better as the Word of Faith movement. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this kind of movement or not. Basically, the teachers and the pundits of this movement teach that we all need to have faith, which I say, amen, I agree. But they teach that we need to have faith because it is our faith that create things. In other words, by the words of our faith, we bring things into existence. That's what they're teaching. Whatever we speak, if we have faith, that word that we speak, we can manifest our words and make them into reality. You guys know what I'm talking about? So we speak word of healing to ourselves, or we speak word of healing and blessing to others, and we have that faith, the word of faith that we're speaking, we will bring about healing to others. We will bring about blessing to others. And conversely, if we speak words of condemnation or words of cursing on ourselves, we'll bring that curse on ourselves. Now, so if I get in trouble with my wife and I said, oh, shoot, I'm in trouble with my wife, I'm as good as dead. Well, you know, I just breathe cursed on myself. And, you know, God may punish me and I may die because I'm bringing that word to life. That's not the faith that the Bible teaches. That's not the faith of the Bible. See, it is not having faith in our faith that the Bible teaches, and that's what they're teaching, faith in our words, faith in what we believe. The biblical faith is different. When we're talking about faith, the Bible teaches is our faith in God. Not in ourselves, not in our words, not in what we do, is our faith in God. Our hope rests in God, in who He is, not in who we are, not in what we say. It is in God. And it's very important. Psalms 42:11, this past month, Psalm 42:11 really spoke to me. It states this: why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Why am I disturbed? Why am I in despair? Why am I troubled? What's the solution? He tells us. Verse 11, hope in God. Not hope in myself, not hope in my words, hope in God. God is where our faith rests. When our heart's in despair, when it's downcast, when our soul's disturbed, what do? We look to Him. 1 Peter 3:15 says it's pretty much the same thing. It's not only Old Testament, it's the New Testament. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, the Apostle Peter wrote to the believers, but in your heart, honor Christ, the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is within you. What is the hope that was in you? He just said it. Honor Christ in your heart. That's the hope that's in you. Christ in us. The hope of glory. The Apostle Paul said that very same word in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, right? Christ in us. He is the hope of our glory. Jesus is our hope. He is where we place our trust. He is where we place our faith. And hence, the biblical definition of faith is just that. Faith in God. It is faith with certainty of who God is. He's a great and awesome God, a wonderful God. It is a faith in the conviction of who God is. We're convinced and convicted that God is who He said He is and that God is good. And faith is the one that commends us to God, as we just read earlier. And without faith, we cannot please God. That is the biblical definition of faith. And if you forget, we talked about that last week, so you can just log on to YouTube at our channel in Forgiven Life Community Church, and you can listen to last week's message if you have not listened to it, or you can refresh yourself in our YouTube channel. That's biblical faith. So then, how do you and I know that we have faith, biblical faith? How do you and I know that we possess that faith that the Bible calls us to possess? I mean, if faith is everything for the forgiven life, I want to make sure that I have that genuine faith, right? I want to please God, thus I need that faith. I want to continue on with my life, my eternal life, so I need to have faith. How can I tell? See, biblical faith will do at least four things to you and me. If you and I truly have biblical faith, we will see these four things in our life. See, faith is not work. We cannot earn it. It's a choice. But biblical faith is a faith that works in us and through us. It does something to us. It moves us. It changes us. It propels us forward. It inspires us to do at least four things. Or inspire us and God for four things to occur. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the author tells us these four things, at least four things. I'm just going to give you four. Number one,
Faith inspires us to hope. Faith inspires us to hope.
Someone once wrote that, you know what, we can survive, you know, a week without food. We can survive, you know, 3 days without water. We can survive a few seconds or a minute without air. But we can't survive a second without hope. And that's what Hebrews chapter 11 says in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is hope. Faith gives us hope. It inspires us to have hope. Because faith operates in the realm of the unseen. That's why we need hope. We can't see the things naturally with our eyes. But with the eyes of faith, we can see the unseen things. And therefore, we need to have hope. We know we have faith because the faith anchors us to God's word. And it anchors us to God's promises. Even though we do not see them with our natural eyes. We do not see, but with the eyes of faith, we see. Notice Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 states that very thing. It explains this hope that we have. It talks about all these heroes of the faith. And in verse 13, it says that all these died in faith. These men and women of God, they died in faith. But notice that they died without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were stranger and exile on the earth. That's faith. I can't see it right now. But you know, I see it from the distance. I see it with the eyes of faith that God is true to his promise. And so I'm going to walk. Accept myself as a stranger on this world. Accept myself as the outcast of this world. Just to receive what God has promised. I see God's word because I see God. They died without seeing the fulfillment of God's promises in their life. But they see something from a distance. God is faithful. He is faithful to what he says. So they were willing to become strangers in this kingdom for a better kingdom that is to come. And they all died for it. See, faith allows you and me to see something that other people without faith cannot see. And because you and I see something that other people who do not have faith cannot see, it changes the way that we behave, right? It changes the way we act. That's what happened to Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27 says that by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. So that's faith, right? He sees him who is unseen. And it's kind of, you know, contradictory. You can't see God, but through eyes of faith, you can see that he is faithful. And so Moses, even though he can't see anything, he knows who God is. He endured the wrath of the king upon himself. Faith inspires us to hope in God. Faith allows us to see things that are within the unseen realm. It is real, it is tangible, and is not imaginary. Now, most people do not know this, but I just mentioned earlier that I've been faced with a severe test of my faith. You know, a really severe test of my faith. I mean, things were really bad in my life. And, you know, you probably wouldn't know because I see you guys and I'm smiling, saying, hey, hi, how you doing? But really, things were falling apart in my life. And where I started experiencing a lot of physical symptoms, you know, my chest started hurting, my head's like hurting all the time. There's always this lump in my throat where I can't breathe and I can't swallow. And I thought, you know, I thought I had maybe high blood pressure and I checked myself. Nope, it's not it. Maybe it's high, you know, sugar. I went and did blood work. Nope, completely normal. Physiology, I'm normal. But I'm experiencing all of these symptoms. And it's painful. If you know what I'm talking about, it's just painful, you know. What it is stress. It was something that just pulled me down. It was stress. And if, you know, for those like my wife, I snap at her. Those were my staff. I snap at them. And I even yelled one of my staff, my manager, you know, the manager so much that she started crying. And then she came and told on my brother. My brother came to me and said, are you stressed out? You know, people are saying that you've been yelling at the staff. And then I got so frustrated, I started yelling at him. And, you know, it was just bad, you know. It was just really bad. It was really testing my faith. And I even told Don, I said, Don, this is not healthy.
one of my experiences is not healthy. If I don't resolve these symptoms, I might die early. It's just not healthy. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had severe stress where your head starts pounding all the time and your chest hurt and you just can't breathe? Well, that's what I experienced. It's been happening for months. It was a test of faith. I kept telling myself, you know, God is faithful. Everything will turn out. Because week after week, I'm worrying if I can even pay my staff. I mean, that's how bad it was. My brother, you know, just, you know, walking around, he didn't care. You know, everything's fine with him. He doesn't know, right? Because I didn't want him to know this part. You know, that was my job, to bear the burden of the clinic and let him do these things. I thought that was my job. And, you know, he's just walking around having fun, and here I am just stressing out. I just didn't know what's going to happen. And then I did a study on faith, preparing for this message for a month ago. And I just asked myself, why do I not have faith? And I come across Psalm 42, verse 5. It's a beautiful psalm. It states this: "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." And it just dawned on me, if I got to hope in God, and how do I do that? It tells us, "For I shall praise him. I shall praise him. I shall praise him for this help and his presence." And as I'm reminded of the scripture verse, I pause and I start praising him. I step aside, I grab my guitar, I start singing that song which I love, you know, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, the city of a God, the holy place." And I just start singing. See, I couldn't see God helping me. I really couldn't. I couldn't see how I can dig myself out of this, you know, this problem of the clinic. I was really worried. I mean, financial problem, all the staff are gone. I couldn't see God move. But you know what? I'm going to believe. So I pick up a card and just start singing on God's faithfulness. An amazing thing happened. The lump on my throat gone. My head feel a lot better. My chest feel a lot better. I could breathe again. After a while, I just put the guitar down and start going to work. Now, I got to confess to you, it lasts probably about a day, maybe a day and a half. Monday, when I went back to work, boom, it all came back again. You know what I'm talking about? It's just, it's all there again. And I had to go retreat and start singing again. What I'm saying is that faith is not a one-time shot. It's not a one-time deal. It is something I've got to constantly work at, got to constantly build, got to constantly add to, so that it may sustain in my life. And now I must confess, actually, as I'm talking about it, I start feeling a lump in my throat. Talking about all my work. You know what I mean? Just talking about my work. It's just a stress. But it started getting a little bit better with it. See, faith inspires hope. To believe that God will help us. The second that faith does, not only does faith inspire hope, faith inspired me to obey. Faith inspires me to obey. Just like the song, when I read that song scripture, "Hope in God, for you know I will praise him," I obey. I got my guitar and start praising him. See, faith motivate me and you to obey God's word. And that's exactly what these heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 did. They got the word of God. They had faith in God. They obeyed God's word. Like Abel obeyed God by offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain. He knew that God wanted a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. So he offered that. Well, Cain did not. Noah did the same thing. Warned by God about the impending judgment, that the earth would be flooded. And I think by that, at that point in time with Noah, he didn't know what rain is. There was no rain. But Noah believed in God. And by faith, he built an ark, even though he never knew what rain is and all that kind of stuff. Abraham did the same thing. He believed in God, and he obeyed God and sacrificed his son. Moses, by faith, he chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. See, these men of faith are certain of God. Their hope in God. Their faith is in God. And they're convicted and convinced that God is faithful to his promise, to his word, and that God will reward those who seek him. So they act upon that conviction. They act upon God's word. That is faith. See, many people think that faith and obedience are contrary to each other, right? And I just have faith. I don't need to obey. I just got faith. They're wrong. Many people think that if I have faith, I do not need to do anything. I just need to believe. Don't do anything. Just believe. And all things will work out for the best. That's not true. Faith is obedience. How do I know that? Romans 1:5 says that, right? You know that scripture, right? I love that scripture. Through whom we received grace and apostleship to bring about, know this, the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nation. What we believe would dictate what we would do. Faith inspired obedience. See, if you're not obeying the word of God, I don't know if you have faith. If you read the word of God and it does nothing to you, and you don't want to act upon it, I don't care if you say you have faith. You really don't. Faith inspires obedience. Oswald Chambers says this. I was reading in devotion, for those who are doing devotion with me, on Utmost for His Highest. He said, but if you are living a life of faith, you will exercise your right to waive your rights and let God choose for you. That's faith. I love it. You will exercise your right to waive your rights. Because you're no longer living for you. You're living for God. You're obedient to Him. Third thing that faith does. Third, faith inspires God to intervene. Not only does faith inspire us to hope, and faith inspire us to obey, faith also inspires God to intervene in our life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, God doesn't move. You see that in verse 32 to 35. What more shall I say? Time will fail me if I talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, and of David, and of Samuel, the prophets. And he lists all these exploits that God intervened in their life. See, God intervenes in the life of those who have faith. God intervened in the life of Elijah, who had faith and helped him. God helped those who put their hope in him. If you read the list of interventions that we read earlier, notice that some of these interventions is very miraculous. And some of these interventions are very plain. You know what I'm talking about? Some of them are miraculous. Some of them are very plain. Closing the mouths of lions. Wow. You know, miraculous. Helping us escape the sword. You know what I mean? I just run away from here. It doesn't really do much. When God intervenes, sometimes it's miraculous and sometimes it is not. For us, we tend to think that faith and God intervening must be something miraculous, but it doesn't have to be. It could be something very plain. I mentioned that just to state that for me in my life, God's intervening in my life, I've never seen it miraculous. You know what I'm talking about? And when I was younger, I had a friend in his church. She was a college student. I was a college student. She was here by herself. And, I was here, living in the church. And, it was kind of poor. She was poor. She prayed, God, please help me. I'm poor. I don't have food. And lo and behold, she testified. She goes to her, that share this story? She goes to her mailbox. She opened it. And boom, there's a check for money. Wow. And then she testified again that she was starving. So she prayed, she went home and someone came and brought her food at the door. Like, wow, praise God. Very miraculous. Wow, amazing. It was a period of time when I was hungry, starving, minister. Lord, please, I need food. I need help. Nothing. I fasted that day. I really did. I fasted that night. Now I got, now it's about dawn. Yeah. And then I prayed. One time I just prayed, Lord, I'm just really in need of money, because no one was helping me. I really needed money. So I'm going to my mailbox, looking at my mailbox, see if there's any check in there. Nothing. And what God did was He gave me a job. Minimum wage paying job. I was old. I was in my 20s. What? Nothing miraculous. But that was God. But now, yes, now. Now, this is back then when I was in the 20s. Nothing miraculous. Just a lot of hard work. But God does that. God intervenes. And I think He's intervening for me right now. The clinic is somewhat getting a little bit better, I think. He intervenes for those who have faith. The fourth thing that faith inspired, So faith inspired us to have hope. Faith inspired us to obey. Faith inspired God to intervene on our behalf. And finally, faith inspired me to endure suffering. Inspired me to endure suffering. You see that in verse 35, in the first part, you know, women receiving back their dead, something very miraculous, and then all of a sudden it switched in the middle of verse 35, talking about others who are tortured, not accepting release so that they may obtain a better resurrection. Were they experiencing mocking and scourging and chains of imprisonment? Where they were stoned, they were sawn too, they were tempted, they were put to death by the sword. Before they said they were escaped the sword, now someone put to death by the sword. And so on and so forth. Faith, at one point, inspired me to endure ill treatment for the sake of God. I mentioned what Oswald Chambers wrote earlier, that faith, the true faith, biblical faith, makes me choose to give up my right to have rights. I killed Chambers' thing. He said that living by faith is me exercising my right to waive my rights. It is some of the reason why I get frustrated in life is because I was holding on to my rights. Someone cut off in front of me. You just cut me off. You violate my lane. I'm, you know, they're shaking me. Of course, I was listening to, you know, gospel music, Christian music, but I'm shaking my head. You know what I mean? And, you know, I came by, like, I had to turn down a little bit because I hope they didn't hear the guy. You know what I'm talking about? Don, I get snapped at her all the time because sometimes she takes my stuff and throw it away. I'm like, what? Those are my stuff, my rights. You violated them. There was a period of time I was just so angry at Don all the time. Serious, I was so angry. She always threw away my stuff. She thinks they're junk. What? Yeah, she thinks they're junk. She just throws them away. And I would yell at her. And she's like, why are you yelling at me? They're just things, but they're my things. And Don was so cute. And then one time I repented because I was reading my Bible and I came across Luke chapter 6, which states that those who take something from you, don't ask for it back. Let it go. And I'm like, oh, shoot. You know, I need to give it up. Don takes it, throw it away. That's fine. I don't ask for it back. So I came there and I showed that to Don. I said, Don, I apologize. You know, love, I apologize for yelling at you. The Bible tells me that next time you do that, I'm just going to give away. You know what Don does? Oh, she pulled out her Bible and saved that text, that scripture verse. I thought it was funny, you know, just to pull, the next time I get anxious, throw that scripture verse right at me. Faith helps us to endure, because faith relinquish my rights. It's no longer my rights, it's God's right. And the more I hold on to my rights, the more I hold on to what I believe is mine, I can't endure. I get upset all the time. One teacher says that one group of people in this story of Hebrews chapter 11 have faith and escape the edge of the sword. Another group of people have the same faith and they died by the sword. Both had faith. One escaped fire. The other were burned at the stake. See, men of faith does not mean that we live a life of tranquility. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that I will always have a peaceful moment. I will have peace with God for sure, but it doesn't mean I will have peace with men all the time. Living life of faith means I constantly trust in Him regardless of what's going on in my life. That's what faith means. Faith does not mean we get everything we want and everything our way. And I love verse 39 and 40. You know, I marked that in my Bible. You should mark that in your Bible. That all these men and women of faith, having gained approval by their faith, did not receive what was promised because God had provided them something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Faith. In my devotion with Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers wrote this, and I was just moved. The great enemy of the life of faith in God is not sin, but the good which is not good enough. That's the great enemy. And repeat that. The great enemy of life of faith in God is not sin, but the good which is not good enough. The good is always the enemy of the best. God wants to give us the best. yet we settle for the good. And therefore we miss out what God has for us.
Oh, wow, it took a long time. And let me just run over quickly. I didn't realize time's about up, but if I can, real quickly, how do we increase our faith? And we can increase our faith. In Luke chapter 11, the apostle came to Jesus. Jesus, increase our faith. So we can increase our faith. I'll give you two ways to increase our faith. First, read God's word, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 11. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Read God's word. If faith is trusting in God's promises, God's word, then we need to know what God promised us for us to have faith. That's why I'm kind of surprised with those who say, I'm a Christian, I have faith, and yet never really read their Bible. Are you really? Faith inspires us to obey. Faith inspires us to have hope. We can't obey, we can't have hope if we're not reading the word. That's what the Bible seems to say to me. Read God's word. Or listen to God's word. You have the app, I just play it. I do that. Play God's word. Just when I'm driving, I'm hearing it. You got to read God's word. See, if you and I don't know the promise, we can't believe in them. And we cannot rest on God's promise if we don't know what he has promised us. So always remember that faith inspired us to obey, inspired us to read. We have to. Let me give you a second thought. Remember God's faithfulness. Not only read God's word, but second, remember God's faithfulness. That helps increase our faith. Remember Sarah? That's how Sarah did. Sarah was able to live by faith and able to be counted among the righteous because she considered God faithful. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah even received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Remember God's faithfulness. We count. Might I make a suggestion? Writing a journal. I've been writing journals since I was in college. Now, Keith told me this past week, you know, he took a picture, he sent it to me, hey, I got a journal book, I've been writing it. I'm like, yay, good going, Keith. And then he sent me a text and said, no, it's been really helping me. It's like, man, I've been wanting you to do this for a long time. Way to go. Keep a journal. That helps us to remember God's faithfulness. Of course, you know, you write bad things like me, you know, it makes you angry sometimes when you read it. But other than that, you also write good things that God did. Remember God's faithfulness. Keep a journal. That will really help. That's how you increase our faith. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much, so much. You have given us everything possible, Lord God, for us to live a life of holiness and godliness. You have given us a measure of faith. And we choose to have faith in you. We choose to believe in you, to trust in you, to follow you. For those of us who are weak in faith, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would inspire us. Inspire us to grow and develop. Inspire us to know more, to know you more. Inspire us to hope, to obey. Inspire us to endure. Increase our faith, Father, that we may be counted among the heroes of the faith. That if someone were to write a journal about our life, they would say, time will fail me if I talk about this person or that person. So let us live a life that's pleasing to you, Father. Let us live a life of faith. These things we give thanks to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.